Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Jim Jefferies podcast. I'm Jim Jefferies. Please subscribe and rate the podcast and come and see me on tour December 1st at the, how do I say this? Agua Caliente?
This is like 3 weeks now. Agua Caliente. It's hot water.
Agua Caliente in Rancho Mirage.
Now, where's Rancho Mirage?
In California.
Oh, there you go.
It's in California.
Yeah,
or December 2nd, I'll be at the Celebrity Theater with all the other celebrities in Phoenix. Did I say that last week? I probably did.
You did,
yeah. December 8th, I'll be at the Prosper Palace in Kelowna, British Columbia. That's in Canada. That'll be fine. Don't worry about it. December 9th, I'll be
Don't worry about what? Promoting it, mean?
No, I sell out there anyway.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I'm just being arrogant.
Okay.
December 9th at the Save and the Foods Memorial Center in Victoria, British Columbia. Also, I've just added extra shows in the UK on January 24th at the Manchester, at the London Hammersmith Apollo and the Manchester Apollo on January 25th. You can get tickets at jimjefferies.com for all these things. Now, I'm meant to throw to Forrest right now. That's what's in the script.
No, you don't have to do that.
We're not doing the script. We have some tremendous guests for us tonight. If you've just watched the show, and you're watching it, you'll see that in Act 4 we had a guy playing a MAGA coffee brew person who said many pedophilic things, which I didn't want to put in the script, but this actor was adamant that he wanted to talk about pedophilia. He was adamant, and I couldn't stop him when he gets into a rage. One of my best friends, one of the nicest men in Hollywood, Dan Bacadol, who played Steve from Legit. Hello, Dan.
Oh, man, I thought you were talking about Reiner. I'm just so glad I made it under that wire.
Yeah, Rob Reiner was on the show as well. We've also got Scott Zabinski. You're here, Scott, the producer of the show.
I might just change my name to Zabinski.
He didn't want to be on the show. He was just sitting down having a drink and making sure that we were doing a good podcast. And I said, put some earphones on, cunt, and then he did it because Scott's my bitch.
That's not true.
And, of course, as always, we have the lovely svelte Forrest Shaw.
Thank you, for svelte. No, how do they know? They can't see me.
Look, people have Googled you, and there's probably one photo up there of you, somewhere else.
There's some good photos. There's some thin photos on there, too, my better days.
There's some thinner photos.
Before I ruptured my Achilles 5 years ago.
I can't work out.
I remember that. What happened was he was working out a lot for a while there, and he was looking really fucking good.
Yeah.
And then he ruptured his Achilles. But was playing basketball?
Playing basketball. They're too old to be playing basketball.
Yeah, he's too old playing basketball, and he ruptures his Achilles, and then it was just like, Fat Forrest, man.
Yeah, I ruptured my willpower. I just eat donuts for dinner.
Yeah, well, that's really what happened. But for a year, I could have that excuse. I was like, I just got started walking again.
Sure.
I could.
Oh, wow.
But it's been 5 years now. So.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's me. That was me before I ruptured my Achilles. Yeah.
That's Forrest back when he was in a band boy.
Yeah. That's legit,
a band boy.
That's legit era.
Wow.
Yeah, when I was on Legit, I was definitely in better shape.
Forrest was in an episode of Legit.
Two episodes.
He was in two episodes. There was one stage where I held a bat of cocaine, and he looked at it like a fish looking at a fucking... It was very funny.
Yeah, that was a good laugh.
So just to talk about what we did on the show today, the first thing we talked about was Roy Moore. Now, Roy Moore is from Alabama. He's a guy running for the Senate. He's also, and we have to, because legal departments say this, he's an alleged pedophile. There's been four women that have come forward stating that they dated him when they were like 14 years old. And he just goes, oh, you know, maybe I did, you know, I can't remember everything from when I was 30 something. Now, this guy just sort of rocks around in a cowboy hat, and it turned out that like he met a girl outside of a court, right? Like the mother went in over a custody battle when she was 14. The mother wasn't 14, the child was 14. And she just, when she was going in for a custody battle, she looked at Roy Moore. Is it Roy Moore?
Yep.
Yeah, she looked at Roy Moore and she said, can you mind my child for a while? And then Roy started to date the girl. So anyway, this guy wants to be a senator. So thoughts?
It was the 70s. Things were different in the 70s. You know, you would hand your kid off to a stranger standing outside. First of all, you're going in for a custody battle.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the apologist here. I think that's the role I'm going to play. Right? I'm going to play like the Roy Moore. I'll play the devil's advocate.
Stand in character.
All right, no, I almost get, because it was the 70s, I almost get the mother doing that because my parents weren't the best parents in the 70s.
Now, was it, this is the thing I didn't know, we should have researched this because we're a TV show, supposedly. But
and a podcast.
So yeah, but it, was it illegal in Alabama to date
a
14-year-old at that time? Because
That is a great question.
Would it change your opinion then?
Yeah, well, it would a little bit, because if it wasn't illegal, it wasn't illegal. Like Elvis Presley dated Priscilla Presley at 16.
How old was Jerry Lee Lewis's cousin when he met her?
She was like 14 or something, but he actually met her when she was born because they were cousins.
Yeah, they were cousins.
But so what happened was they started dating, and so we did a whole thing on this. Now, one of the hurdles we came up against this week was the Louis C.K. allegations.
Just so you know, real quick, before you get into this, age of consent in Alabama is 16.
And it was then, now, according to my...
Yeah.
All right, so Roy Moore's a piece of shit.
And also, one more thing.
But only by 2 years.
One more thing is that there was another... There was a story that came out last night too about Roy Moore before that he was banned from a mall in the 80s for pursuing teens.
We wanted to put that in. Yeah, in the 80s, he was banned from a mall for being too creepy.
Yeah,
and this is a guy who doesn't think he used to think that 9/11 happened because it was God punishing us for sodomy. Which, look, the jury's out. Who knows? I don't know what God gets up to. I'm going to assume that God wasn't punishing us for sodomy with 9/11, but you know, I can't categorically prove that
that
wasn't.
Not only that, sodomy has its own occasional side effects.
I feel like sodomy's its own punishment.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
And every time.
Yeah, does anyone have to extra punish sodomy? Like, the only people who enjoy sodomy is the ones giving it. The people receiving sodomy very rarely enjoy it.
And so here, one of the police that spoke with the New Yorker said, it was general knowledge at the time when I moved here that there was this guy, as a lawyer, cruising the mall for high school dates. Yeah, he was an attorney general then.
Yeah, he was an attorney.
He was Matthew McConaughey's character in Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. What is it going? Yeah,
every day they get the same age.
I get older and they stay the same
movie
age.
Movie quotes by Jim Jeffries.
Every day they get the same age.
You had me at hello.
There's a force you can be used.
You had me at hey.
That's it. That was about it.
Hey, Luke, did you just find the force yet?
Yeah.
You can't handle the truth.
Hey, Luke.
Rob Reiner.
I know your dad. Would you like to meet him? We're good mates. That's how it went, right? That's how.
Yeah, that's what it says here.
And then he cut his foot off.
Where is that midnight when you need it? This is a great hashtag game.
So anyway, so we did this whole thing. We talked about that. Now, we came up against something where with the writers and everything, because Louis C.K. came out. Now, I don't want to be Louis C.K. apologist. For what he did was super creepy, but I'm also of the opinion Louis C.K. masturbating in front of someone isn't the same as rape. It's still super creepy. He deserved what happened to him, but I didn't feel like after we did the Harvey Weinstein piece that we needed to do an entire piece on Louis C.K. So we did drop a joke in there about Louis C.K. Now, I've been getting a little bit of flack over the last week or so ever since the Louis C.K. incident. Well, because I did a routine maybe 6 or 7
terrible
years.
Terrible bit.
It's really a bad bit, Louis. You got to drop the bit.
Yeah. I did a routine maybe 6 or 7 years ago where I talked about a comedian who was a little bit rapey in a hotel room. Now, I just want to, for the people who have been writing to me and saying something, like, first of all, that routine was of its time. I probably would phrase things slightly different about the routine. But also, it is a piece of stand-up. It's a piece of fiction. It's not reality. The routine is maybe 60% true. And over the course of telling it, I made myself look like more of a dirtbag throughout the piece, and I also embellished it substantially. But many people have stated online that this was Louis in this story. And look, I wouldn't save the guy. It's not my place. If it was Louis, I would tell you right now. But 150% was not Louis C.K. in that story. So I just want to say that right now because people are saying it as a fact, and it wasn't him.
Oh, I'm guilty of that for sure.
You asked me?
I said today, and I said it to people the other day. I said, Jim's got a bit about this. My buddy Jim, he's got a bit about this. No. And then I went, oh, my God. I wonder if Jim's going to get in trouble for this. And then, again, as you did back then, when I asked you 5 years ago, was it Louis? Based on nothing other than farts in the wind,
yeah.
I asked you and you said it wasn't Louis.
It wasn't Louis.
And
it wasn't
you told
Louis.
Me that years ago.
And the story, actually, I changed locations, ages of people, names of people. It happened many, many years. Like, I hate being a comedy apologist in the sense that I hate pulling back the curtain right now and telling you that a lot of these things are made up for effect, and that when you're watching something, it's not entirely true. I'd like you to watch my comedy and live in the moment and think, oh, maybe this really happened and stuff. And so I hate that I'm saying this, but that story wasn't entirely true, and Louis was not the person involved. And the person who was involved was slightly less dangerous than I presented that person in the story. And that person may or may not be dead. That's all I'm going to tell you. So I feel like so back to
so it was Joan Rivers. Okay,
yeah, it was Joan Rivers.
Tom Petty. It was Tom Petty. Wasn't it?
It was Joan Rivers.
Typical Gainesville shit.
Joan Rivers. She always got rapey and super bitchy towards the end. like was just teasing the girl's fashion. So Roy Moore is now, one of the weird things that happened with Roy Moore is that, so these allegations have come out about him having a girlfriend who was 14 years old. And one of the things that happened now is you'd think that would sink his boat, but strangely, he's actually gone up in the polls by like 29%. Like, we made a joke on the show that maybe Republicans would just encourage that these allegations prove that he wasn't gay. And they were like, oh, awesome. We were worried about him and the cowboy hat because he does look like an extra member from the Village People that they haven't actually fucking invented yet. But they were encouraged by that. We don't know. But then what happened was Sean Hannity defended Moore. And he defended him in a sense that he had him on the show and he questioned whether these allegations were true and all that type of stuff.
Now, the clip we used too, I just want to say, Sean Hannity kind of like sandbagged it too. He goes, did you ever date a girl that was 17? And it's like, no, how about 14? That's what we're talking about. Yeah. 17's still underage, but it makes it look a lot better than
not
14.
Not in Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, yeah, it's true.
And
yeah.
He said something like, not that I can recall. Yeah, yeah. Or what was the word I said on the show?
Generally, not.
Yeah.
Not generally, no.
Not generally, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. I will admit right now on the podcast that I have dated a 14-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 17-year-old. Now, just as a little mention, at the time I was also 14, 16, and 17. I just want to clear that up, but I was the same age.
Make sure we don't edit that second part out.
That's the show. Thanks for listening.
When I was that age, I dated other people the same age as mine. I've been wanting to get that off my chest for the longest time. And so that's a truth. That's a fact. And then what happened was Trump claimed that he doesn't know much about the Moore case because he doesn't watch too much TV because he's too busy reading documents.
Yeah.
And we all know that's a lie because Trump is constantly pissed off by television. He watches Fox and Friends every fucking day and he watches Saturday Night Live and gets all shitty, but all of a sudden he's calling out bluff and saying
NFL.
He doesn't know what's happening with Roy Moore because he doesn't watch TV. Thoughts?
Yeah, he's actually never watched the NFL. He's only looked at courtroom sketches of people taking knees there. So, yeah, of course, that's all he does is watch TV.
He once saw Colin Kaepernick doing up his shoelaces and got fucking outraged.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all he does is watch TV and tweet about stuff on TV. So it's also he doesn't know about a political race. That's like, it's a very important political race.
That I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
I do believe that he's not paying close enough attention to that. But if it's the leading headline and it's something that leans against what he's for, Yeah. He's paying attention to the social aspect of it. He's not paying attention to the political side.
But he should know. I mean, it's the seat being Sessions.
Yeah,
Senate
Sessions
seat.
Yeah. Yeah, and, so and like, he and Trump had endorsed Luther Strange, who lost.
Yeah, so he was involved in this race, and I was like, oh, I forgot who that guy is now.
John Oliver actually on Sunday obviously we love John Oliver's show too. We watched that, and he had that clip. It was from a while back when John Dickerson was asking him, pressing him for stuff, and he just kept pressing him. And at the end of the clip, Trump goes around and goes, "That's it, thank you, good night, goodbye." Yeah. And he sits down at his desk, but he just acts like he's reading documents. And like, well, if like you saw that clip,
like
you
my 6 year old does when I get my newspaper. I go here and he goes, "Oh, gotta go to work." Yeah.
This guy doesn't know fuck. He knows fuck all about documents.
He knows how to pretend like a person in the world.
Now, Dan, look, I love you, but it's fair to say that you're white trash from Florida.
Yeah,
right?
I'm from Minnesota, and I grew up in Florida. So
people always attack Florida.
Northern white trash.
So there's the white and there's the trash.
You're white trash. I'm white trash. Forrest is white trash. Sure, I feel like Scott grew up in some type of castle.
I don't feel like I'm white trash, first of all, but okay.
Yeah, single mom from Florida, white trash.
Go ahead.
You're white trash?
Yeah. I'm white trash.
His dad built a fort inside a rock.
That's a long story. My father built a house over a rock. Anyway. Over a rock and then dug a hole through the rock to make a Flintstones type room. It's a long story. But my dad jackhammered a lot to make a rock room. Anyway, so you have, I can only assume, a lot of Trump supporter relatives.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Your family would be...
An old friend. Not, like, my mom is not. I've got a couple sisters that aren't Trump supporters. I think I've got a libertarian brother. But I've got a lot of old high school friends that were, hey, what are we going to do, vote for her?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, there were the emails, and I'm still very upset by it.
Yeah, the emails are troubling. In Benghazi, where two people died. Yeah.
Whereas she killed those people.
In Niger,
you
know, we had four people die, but let's not pay attention.
Yeah, no. There's two people died in Benghazi. For the longest time, and I said this in a stand-up routine, I thought Benghazi was the name of a guy that we were hunting.
Get him.
We're going to bring him in.
I thought Benghazi was like the Bin Laden that we're after. It's like, oh, what about Benghazi? And I'm like, oh, we have to catch that guy.
Yeah, and now you got a new show.
Old Benghazi. And now people feed me scripts and I talk on television.
Nah, you know it all.
So Act Two was artificial intelligence, which is an evergreen piece that we could have sort of done at all, and we've sort of been toying with this around for a while. But artificial intelligence, people are very worried. There's people like the truckers are very concerned because I have a Tesla and it self-drives on the freeway, and we're not far away from having trucks that will just commute and bring all of our goods and stuff like that. So people are very nervous about losing jobs. Now, I don't know if I'm as nervous as the people who think they're going to, I just think, become like a robot fixer.
Yeah, this is, I have an opinion on this, is that all throughout time, you mentioned the cotton gin in there, we made a joke about, but
what we call it in Australia, in Britain, we call it the spinning Jenny.
What, the cotton gin?
Yeah, spinning Jenny.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, I don't know, because the spinning Jenny was like a big thing.
I've already told you that's why people like Australians, is you guys figured out the English language to make it cooler.
And you think spinning Jenny is the coolest thing?
It's better than cotton gin.
It's more
cotton
fun.
Gin.
I don't know if it's cool.
It's better. I just felt like every word that was different over there, and it made more sense the way you said it. Shorter, better, cool. That's, you know. But
so,
of course,
so we actually.
But
said
I will
that.
Tell you what's terrible about Australia. Well, since I'm saying something good, is they have time zones over there that are on the half hour.
Yeah, they do. They do have a half.
So you go to some city and it's like it's only a half hour behind this city. What kind? That's
only
like,
Adelaide.
That's Adelaide there's and one, Darwin. It's dumb.
Is Darwin half hour?
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Darwin.
I don't want to be all Australia's great before
makes
I mention
sense.
That. So, but all right.
Yeah, because it's Darwin. Eventually, over time, that will become an hour.
Yeah.
And Adelaide.
Right. It'll start walking around. It will just be a little fucking tadpole that comes out of the ocean. And anyway, so we talk about artificial intelligence by 2060. Experts, I don't know who these experts are, but people have said
Elon Musk,
but that's a South African. Can we really trust what he says?
You have his car.
I do have his car. Yeah, I love Elon Musk, actually.
Yeah.
In 2060, experts say that robots will be able to do everything humans can do. Everything humans can do. So this podcast right now would be done by some more hysterical robots. Like, what will happen is that people will put the formula to comedy in, and then they'll pick all the timing. They won't use me as the template. They'll get Bill Burr or something.
Yeah,
they'll
put that guy's great.
Yeah, he's so good. He should have his own show. Anyway, so what they'll do is they'll get Bill Burr's timing, and they'll pump it into a robot, and then we won't need Bill Burr anymore, because there'll be a robot doing his routines just faster. And
that's the one thing that robots won't be able to do: comedy, like any sort of emoting, like acting, music.
Yeah, but we used to think they wouldn't be able to do things like emails, and because actually, that's a bad example.
Emails.
Well, okay, let's talk about robots very quickly.
That's what we're trying to do.
I feel like...
You're, like, glossing over it and, like, hey, let's talk about the thing we're already talking about.
I feel like they're not really crushing it at the level they should be. Because when I was a kid, I thought by now robots would be doing fucking everything. Have you seen, like, when the robots play soccer and they go, oh, we've got robot soccer? It's a shit game of soccer. I don't know if it's ever going to get good as human soccer.
It's like you were saying, it's like when you watch the robots play soccer, it's the same way as if you watch when your kids are like three and playing soccer. You're like, yeah, they're doing it. They're kicking it. And like,
there's a ball.
They're not
nets,
good.
There's people with different colored jerseys on. That's about as much as
you know. No people. Robots.
Here's the thing.
Sorry, I forgot.
When you say they're going to take all the jobs, I know that there's data and there's people that have that theory, but for the last 200 years, robots have been taking our jobs. I mean, like computers, like down to things like washing machines and dishwashers. People have always found – we've had jobs that we've been able to do. So there's a theory that we'd find jobs to do without robots.
Do you think there's a future where robots – because we showed a robot in the show that looked very human-like, that was talking, and everything was from Saudi Arabia. It was quite an attractive female robot. Do you think there's a stage where robots will walk amongst us? And if that happens – do you think there's a moment where there's people who are accused of having racism against robots?
Yeah, that's iRobot, that Will Smith film.
I haven't seen that film.
Yeah, that's pretty much what that film is.
Was that about robots?
It's about robots and people. There's people like Will Smith doesn't trust the robots.
Yeah, but I thought he was the last person alive in that movie.
No, that's I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
Oh, I
that's
Am
the
Legend.
Vampire movie.
I Am Robot starts with him getting in a taxi.
And he goes over. Yeah.
Yeah, and he goes, yo, home, smell you later. And he shows up at a big house. and there's robots.
I think that's
in
Bad
the
Boys
house.
3.
There's a big fat sort of guy, his uncle robot, who takes care of him.
And then they show funny videos and that one guy dances.
Sure.
Funny home videos.
You know what I think we're really afraid of the robots, and you don't want to say it? It's not that they're taking jobs. It's that we're afraid that robots are going to kill us. And I think now that you see the robots, when they hit them with a bat and they fall down and they can pop back up, that's scary. That's way scarier than them taking your job, because now you're like, robots are going to kill us.
Scott still does that. Scott,
he's going to kill you one day.
If I hit you with a bat, like, how much grief do I give you in your life, Scott?
Not a lot, A lot. Yeah.
And you keep getting up.
Yeah, but that's more of a metaphor.
Where the fuck's Jack? I need a beer. Where the fuck is Jack? Jack, you were hiding there.
Did you hear somebody call it your catchphrase today in the audience?
I did.
Because he said, Jack, and they said, can you hack it?
Did someone yell it out? We gave Jack Hackett a catchphrase that after he tells jokes, he goes, can you hack it?
And somebody in the crowd today said, I don't know if you said Jack's name or he just appeared. And then you go,
Jack gave me a beer and someone yelled out, can you hack it?
Yeah. So
yes, you can.
It's working, Jack.
I think we definitely could get a robot to replace Jack for beers.
Oh, totally. I could get it. But you know what? I don't need a robot to replace Jack, because I like the conversations we have every morning. I like showing up in the morning and Jack says something like, oh, I lost a tooth today, right?
Did you lose a tooth?
No, I'm just saying like
I could have.
I'm saying he's a child. Oh, you ruined me, Jack.
My favorite thing is that Jack's like still hasn't been working in Hollywood long enough to not be nice. So every morning he goes, hey, Scott, good morning.
Hasn't raped a single person.
Yep.
Hasn't been in Hollywood that long. If I call him on Sundays and I go, there's a problem, Jack's right on it.
Yeah.
Jack's the best assistant I've ever had. He's also the first assistant I've ever had. So I'm gonna reserve judgment right there. But Jack has a lot of fine qualities. Jack, when's your next gig?
Tonight
is.
Where are you performing tonight?
My open mic at school.
Oh, open mic at school.
Jack
UFC. That's got to have some nice looking women, right?
He did two sets last weekend on my show.
Yeah, UFC, like you got to be nice looking birds there, right? Yeah, all right, we'll touch them respectively. respectfully.
Well, I don't know about the dating life, too. Everyone asks me about that every week, too. So what's going on with dating?
Yeah, how's the dating going?
I went on a date on Friday.
And did you? Okay, at your age, I'm going to assume the best result is that you fingered her. How did it go?
Well, didn't get that far. We kissed a couple times.
All right! Can you hack it?
did you say that after each time you kissed? Can you hack it?
Don't do that. Bad advice.
Yep.
How's that going? You going to see her again?
I'll see her Thursday, yeah.
All right.
Well, unless she hears this.
More kissing.
Yeah, I'm
more
not telling kissing. Her about this podcast.
Yeah, good idea.
More kissing. Hey, don't tell her about the podcast. Well, what does this young lady do? What does she do?
She goes to school with me.
All right. And lives in a world of regret, I assume.
Yeah, well, now she does.
Now she goes to school with you, and she's studying the same thing as you?
Yeah, she's studying film.
I assume that your course is working for Jim Jefferies. Is that a course?
Like, pretty much. I'm taking an internship class. I'm lying and saying this is an internship.
This is an internship, but we still pay you.
Yeah, that's the nice part.
You can have a paid internship.
Yeah, but it's not 5 days a week. So I say I come in 3 days a week.
Oh, yeah. So why don't you lie on a
nobody can see you doing air quotes air too quotes. On the class. Yeah. Yeah. Would you anything else you want to say on the podcast
Jack,
that thousands of people
Jack's
listen to?
What the French would call dumb. 80,000 people, 90,000 people listen to this podcast, and you're just like, hey, I'm going to tell them it's an internship.
Yeah.
Well, they're definitely not going to listen.
Where's your
to
buddy? You brought a buddy down tonight? You brought a friend down?
Yeah.
Where's he going? What happened to him?
He went back to school.
Oh, yeah, he went back to school.
Yeah.
Or did you school the cunt and just say, this is my turf or something?
What's going on?
I don't know.
It's one of the outsiders.
So then after that, so we talk about artificial intelligence.
Good
turns
segue.
It turns out that I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence. But talking about artificial intelligence, Jack Hackett.
Robots.
Anywho, so then, now I must say we've done a lot of interviews. I've done a lot of interviews. When I say a lot of interviews, like eight or something, that I've really enjoyed. But this is the first one where I was a little fucking starstruck, man. We had Rob Reiner was the interview on the show. He directed Spinal Tap, Stand By Me, The Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally.
A Few Good Men.
He directed A Few Good Men in a Private Home video.
he's an actor in even more movies. I mean, he's producer, actor,
he
writer.
He was in, and this wasn't on the questions on the card, but then I had to ask him, like, he was in All in the Family. Right?
Of course, yeah.
And then I did ask him during the interview, I said, do you think that show would stand up right now? And he said, yeah, people would love that show. And I go, for the wrong reasons? He goes, they liked it for the wrong reasons.
Of course.
Then.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, when you said that, it wasn't like people were like, oh, we're all getting the
we're all getting the nuance.
Yeah, the satire here. What's going on? It's like, nah, some people just watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, people used to watch Archie Bunker and just go, ah.
He's a straight shooter.
He's a straight shooter.
Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
It's funny because that show actually, one of those shows that people don't remember, like, so Norman Lear, and I've met Norman Lear, and he may be one of the nicest fucking men on earth. He's 90-something years old. He's a billionaire, and he gives so much money to charity, but I will argue that a lot of his career is a fraud. What happened is...
Wait, what was that like? That last part?
Well, no, I love Norman Lear.
I'm going to kill him in his sleep.
No. I actually actually know Norman Lear, and he's a very sweet man. But the thing is,
the TV just turned on.
No, the TV just turned on.
How did we do that?
Jack, stop it. Make you hack it.
Channel 19.5.
That's the
fucking robots, man.
The robots
this is how it starts.
Talking about them.
Hey, God. Boy.
These robots are still talking, Jack.
Okay, we're okay.
Anyway,
we're okay.
So, but the thing about Norman Lear is he made a lot of money and he did it very successfully and he did it the right way. But most of these shows, like, until, what was the name of the one that I just said?
All in the Family.
All in the Family.
I know where you're going with
was
that.
From a TV show in Britain called Till Death Do Us Part.
Yeah.
Steptoe and Son was Stepford and Son, or he was Stepford.
Sanford and Son.
Yeah, Sanford and Son was a British show. So most of what he did was like, you know how you have the American office, you have the British office or whatever. So people think All in the Family was this original fucking thing, but it was a show in Britain called Till Death Do Us Part. And obviously Rob Reiner was on it. Now just to meet the guy who directed Spinal Tap, I don't give as much of a fuck about The Princess Bride, Stand By Me, I like. It was just great. He just did the LBJ movie. We were so lucky to have him on the show. The fact that he came out, and my first question, it wasn't on the cards, and I was so nervous about it because I thought of this earlier this afternoon. Like, it wasn't that improv. I was like, I watched the movie, which I did last night, and I went, I saw the whole film. The only thing I don't get, what does LBJ stand for, right? And he actually, I thought I'd get a laugh and then I could ask a real question. And he just looked at me like I was a fucking moron. And he just went, that's not on your card.
He took the card.
And he took the card off me and looked at it. And I felt like a child. I was like, yeah.
It was funny though.
I was just being a dickhead.
You got me, Mr. Reiner.
But it was funny. He handled it really well. And it was really funny. It's like, yeah, and I was saying to everybody, I was like, after seeing that, I mean, I already liked him, but after that, I was like, I want to hang out with Rob Reiner now. Like, he just seems like is this like this?
I did say to him afterwards, I said, I went, like, there's always that bit on any type of interview when you do a late night show or something like that, where you talk and you always see them and they're going at an ad break and you talk to Conan or whatever. And the little bit that you can see at the end, I actually lean over and I said to him, I said, hey, do you want to do the podcast? He goes, I'm really busy.
I don't even know this. Yeah.
And he goes, I'm really busy.
Was he being funny?
Though? No. He goes, really? Look, I'm really busy. I gotta go. He goes, but this is a great show. And he was like really sweet. And
you got a standing O too.
Yeah, and there was the first guest we've had that had a standing ovation. People lost their fucking shit for Rob Reiner. And do you know what? He was poignant, he was poised, he was charming. And he was funny, and that's all you can ask from any fucking guest. And he's the type of stand-up fucking guy, man, that as younger people like ourselves, I think you should model yourself on. Successful man who doesn't feel like he treaded on anyone. He had a famous father. He doesn't feel like he banks off that in any way. A real fucking stand-up guy, Rob Reiner.
And here's some of the things that he does besides movies, like, with Morgan Freeman, he's helped launch a committee to investigate Russia, and he talked about that a little bit in the interview as far as what he thinks about Trump. And co-founder for American Foundation for Equal Rights, and this group was an advisory for same-sex marriage, and then also served as the chairman for First Five California, aggressively campaigned for another educational initiative for free preschool education while serving as chairman. So, like, he really is you said activist when you introduced him, but he really is. And he's 70, too, by the way, and he doesn't seem like he's... Like, if you have that much energy and, like, just, like...
You know what's sad is that in a guy that's that great that we now live in a world where all of us, like, under the surface, I think, like, please don't let it come out that he did anything bad.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I just want people to be that good and, like, that's it.
But they talked about that. And, I mean, I don't know how much of the interview is going to get shaved down. Maybe we can release the whole thing. But that was a really funny part when you were talking about the food and stuff.
But I think it's that thing where it's like, please just be a... fucking normal person.
Yeah, a decent human being.
Please just don't be a piece of shit.
Yeah, you know?
And he was not, man. We came in, me and you, Dan, we came in, and you were there, Scott. We came in and we talked to him for 15 minutes before the interview, and he couldn't have been sweeter. He asked way more questions about me than I asked about him. He asked about Australia and just fucking, we talked about Fosters and some cliche shit, but he was fucking, what a fucking stand-up guy.
And when I was walking over, you were doing warm-up, like you always do a little bit of stand-up, whatever. I was walking by this room right here where we're doing the podcast where he was sitting and he was watching, he was sitting right here just watching the TV and I almost wanted to take a picture. I was like, I'm not going to, but it was cool. He was like watching the show. He was enjoying it and stuff. So
was he laughing? Did I make Rob Reiner laugh?
No, he's like, this guy's a hack.
That sucks.
Too many, too many swears.
Fuck Rob Reiner. Fuck Rob Reiner. Bad guy.
Too many swears.
I take him all back. Yeah. So that was Rob Reiner. You can watch the interview on the show. We record like a 10-minute interview. We cut it down to about 5 minutes. So there was probably some great stuff that you won't see.
We might put the whole thing online though, I think.
Yeah, we'll probably put the whole thing online and, you know, as we go into was it
Lindsay who got it for us? So Lindsay Crystal works for us and she does field piece and stuff, and now I don't know if she'll be angry at me for saying this, but Lindsay is Billy Crystal's daughter, works on the show. And obviously Rob Reiner directed When Harry Met Sally. And it was a real big get for us. And
Princess Bride he was in too.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That was great.
The bit where he's talking about the sandwich, that's definitely getting in, right? The fucking sandwich thing.
So good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Mutton.
Yeah, yeah, that was really
all
fun.
All right, so then Act 4 comes around.
Nothing happened in Act 4, Act so we'll skip
four,
that.
Act
and then
4 is always a huge disappointment to me. We always just churn
no,
out some
no
shit.
No exception.
And this episode was no different. We brought on Dan Bacadell to play. What happened is Hannity stood up for Roy Moore about the pedophilia, and then Keurig, and God bless him, man, that's fucking bold, Keurig, the coffee making machines, pulled their ads from Hannity. They said, this is not acceptable that you stood up for a pedophile, an alleged pedophile. And what happened was some extreme conservatives started smashing their Keurig's machines, and they filmed themselves doing it. So we made up a character called Cliff the Coffee Man. It wasn't Coolidge.
No, we changed
Coleman.
Coleman or something.
Cliff the Coffee Man.
Cliff, yeah,
we couldn't use the last name because there actually
it was Cliff the Coffee Man or something. But, happened was,
yeah.
So what happened was we wanted to get someone to play this part. One of our writers, Lucas, who's very good at writing these little tiny sketch things, like he's more of a like sort of UCB sort of guy, but he's very good at writing these sketches that we do at the end. You do great work on that, Lucas. Wrote this part, this whole storyline, the whole thing, and then the only person we wanted, it was before I even asked, everyone said, do you think Dan Bacadell would do it? And Dan was so sweet. You came in, you got told yesterday?
Yep, last night around 8 p.m. I think I found out I was doing it.
8 p.m. And they told me, you've got the script, it's all ready to go, Dan's in. And then Dan shows up to my office, and I'm doing like makeup or getting into wardrobe or something like that. And Dan's like, so what am I talking about? Like, Dan came in so fucking blind. Now, in this script, the character talks about fucking being a pedophile, and Dan's
or
like...
Or pro-pedophile.
Yeah, he's like, I'm in.
Wait, don't you have any follow-up questions, Dan?
Nope.
No, well, I mean, I think that speaks to our friendship. You know, I was like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help the show. And I thought, geez, if Jim's into me doing it, then I'm into doing it. I mean, look, I walked PCH in my underwear.
You did.
When you were sleeping.
Yes, you did.
For you. So
that's one of the great scenes. And legit. Yeah.
You were sleeping.
That's my favorite episode.
It was a fantastic episode.
My favorite episode of legit is when Steve, your character, went on a bender. My favorite character from Legit is also Steve, more than myself or Billy or anyone else.
Well, you gave me all the good stuff. That's why.
Well, it's because we decided that you were an addict in the second season. So it was very easy to be like, And like, it was a great character because your character in Legit was not only an addict, but it was also an addict that had lost his wife. He lost his child. The only like family he had was me and his brother, and I always thought that was, and it was also a fucking sweet, touching, like he was a good guy,
yeah,
with flaws. You know, he was a bad person, but generally a good human being.
Like Roy Moore. No, but that's the thing is, I mean, I came in blind. I wasn't coming in blind. I knew I was coming in to work with you, so I know I'm protected at least in that much. You don't want your shirt.
You don't
want to
see the edit. You don't want to see the edit.
Yeah, but you don't want to. You don't want your show to look like shit. So I just trust that you've got your own show's best interest. So you must be putting me in a position to succeed.
There was a sweet moment with me, you and DJ came down. You guys were so supportive. I mean, DJ Qualls, who played Billy on the Jit. So really, that show was 90% the three of us. Just two seasons, it was 90% just the three of us lads, and we bonded. And I think all three of us have remained friends to this day. And then the two of you were so sweet that when I got this show and my career went on a slightly different avenue than doing a sitcom or what you do now, it meant so much to me that you showed up to the first couple of episodes. And when you came to the episodes, you sat in the audience and Brad Pitt played the weatherman on the show. Now, the only reason that Brad Pitt plays the weatherman on our TV show is because he loved Legit. And when he met Ewan DJ, he honestly was excited.
Yeah.
He honestly did.
He came off as Mark. Kind of cool. You guys were shooting the scene. He came off as Mark to go say hi.
Yeah, because I said, Dan Bacadell and DJ Qualls in the audience, and they're from Legit. And then he said something to me like, "You have to start speaking English."
Yeah.
Yeah, you mumbled it, I think.
Yeah, I mumbled it, plus me accent or whatever. And then I said, and I pointed, and he went, fucking hell, man, let's make a fucking movie. And he did that thing where he shows his fucking teeth, and he kicks his head back and goes, oh, man, I can't believe it.
How did you find Dan originally for Legit? Just casting?
Well, here's a story, because Dan may be the moodiest auditioner you've ever met.
I heard you tell the story on another podcast.
Let's hear two stories.
I'll tell Dan. Okay, as soon as he came in, I fucking love the guy, right? He came in because Steve, I had... You know, you don't know what you want from a character that you've written in a script. And this is why movies are so weird, because you've directed movies, Scott, right? Mm-hmm. It's like something about sitcoms is great, or dramas or whatever, because you get time and time again to work the fucking character. And movies are one and done fucking thing, right? Yeah. So I had an idea because the character of Steve was based on my friend Andrew Moran, who lives in Australia, and Dan Bacadol looks nothing like Andrew, but I had a very exact vision of what this guy was and how he acted and all that type of stuff. And then Dan came in and we were running a bit late, right? And Dan came in and he was fucking so angry because he's like, probably got a fucking parking fine, you can all fuck off.
And I did get a parking ticket.
Yeah. Dan was in a mood like, what the fuck am I doing here? And I was like, this guy was sweating and fucking angry, and I was like, that's the guy. This guy, like if he didn't get that parking ticket, I can't guarantee he would have gotten the job. But the fact that he got that parking ticket, he was so pissed off. He came in and just looked, and he was holding the sides, and he was like this, let's fucking do this, my day's over anyway.
Were you really that mad, Dan?
I'll give you my alternate version, which needs only this much, which is Jim didn't even make eye contact.
I have problems with eye contact.
Which is the only thing, and I didn't know that about you then because I didn't know you. And I thought, this guy's not even I just got a parking ticket. This guy's in a wheelchair. What the hell's going on here? And then this guy doesn't make eye contact with me. What the fuck is happening in my life right now? That's where I was. But other than that, I have nothing to add because he's
I got very intimidated by all the actors because I was reading. I'd never acted before at all. Like, not one little bit. I'd never done one acting job. And so for me to be sitting there in Hollywood, coming from Australia, and reading scenes with guys who had been in movies and shit like that, I was intimidated. So I have promised this day making eye contact with people, and I couldn't. Mike, it was more out of respect than it was out of anything. But DJ Qualls, who played Billy, had the same story. Like this, he's like this guy come in and he kept his head down. That's my DJ Qualls.
Bitch didn't even look at me.
The bitch didn't even look at me. Yeah. I grew up in a double wide in Tennessee.
Well, the thing is, because when you go into an audition, you think something in here is going to tell me you got this, you didn't get this, you nailed this, you didn't nail this. And that gave me nothing. I walked in like, what just happened? I'm staring at a brick wall and a man in a brick wall.
Nobody else was even in our decision making once we saw you.
Look, by the time we started shooting, I felt like, holy shit, this is something special.
Yeah, but no one watched it. I stand.
People watched
it. So special.
Yeah. I stand by Legit, and I feel like, hey FX, I feel like some of your network programming has just opened up.
At least one.
Now that Louis's gone, I feel like you can bring it back. Come on, John Langreth.
More people have probably seen FX since it went off the air, right? You hear about it all the time.
Oh,
now.
Legit. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. What's that?
Legit.
Okay, I'll tell you what it is. Cass, who works on our staff, is Australian as well. She just said Australia just voted yes to gay marriage.
There's going to be a lot of happy Filipinos.
So it's funny because my mother, I rang her up and I said, my dad voted no. I'm very like, but
he did?
Yeah, he just sort of just went, oh. No.
Dads have to vote no.
No, do you want to know why my dad voted no?
What did he say that you're about to do an impression of him?
I'll tell you why my dad voted no, because he doesn't agree with heterosexual marriage. He was just trying to.
He's like, I'm doing you a favor.
He was just looking at
no marriage.
He was like looking at my mother going, listen, gay people. Run while you can.
Oh, Jack.
So
Your mom voted for
the gay marriage, and she said, I was a bit hung up. I was a little bit hung up on the whole idea of that marriage should be between a man and a woman. And then I thought, Ah, fuck it. Just give it to him. So that's what my mom's doing.
Well, there you go. Hot off the press. It just happened. All states, all territories.
So well done, Australia. I'm very proud of you. It took you a long time. We are the last place in the free world, as I can tell, to have gay marriage. And I'm very impressed with Australia. Now I can hold my head up high whenever I talk about there's gay marriage in Ireland, there's gay marriage in Britain, there's gay marriage in America, and now there is gay marriage in Australia. And I don't particularly care what the gays get up to, but what I do care about, is everyone getting a fair fucking go in this world. And thank you, Australia, for not embarrassing me. And to all my Australian fans, I love you, I guess. I don't know. What am I heading with this?
I don't know where you're heading. I'm just letting you know what happened. And you went on like a 1980s, teen film speech at the end of it. Like, and another thing.
I thought
we're going to win this ski race.
You were still 40%. We're still 40%. No, that's pretty good.
That's not bad.
40% is pretty good. Yeah. No, look at that's better than what fucking Trump won the election with. 40% no. Yeah. That's not fucking shame. Because I'll tell you what happened in Australia was I have a very good female lesbian friend in Australia.
What's she very good at?
No, I'm a very good friend.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to be
and
smart.
So she said to me, because she was adamant, she has a girlfriend, she wanted to get married, all that stuff. And then as this vote was happening, she started saying she didn't think it was worth it. Because before that, she used to think that people in Australia were less homophobic and that she and her girlfriend were living in this bubble. But then the election happened and she saw how many people hated them. Right? And the people who went out of their fucking way to try and stop it. And she goes, you know what? I've never felt less loved in my life until this vote came in. Well, if you're listening to me and you know who you are, well, you fucking won. And congratulations and get married. And I love you very much.
All right. Well, let me read a couple emails that people sent into to the podcast. Because we told people to do this. So I just want to let you know that we're reading him. Stephen O'Neill wrote him, please tell Jim, thank you for telling me to not go to the gig in Dublin after I bought 3 tickets. Cheers, Jim. You're a wonderful cunt. I guess
I'll
he said that was
going to be there. I'll go to Dublin. Okay. Shut up.
All right. Tyler Oliver says, just wanted to say I love the show and I've watched and listened every week since it started. The casual sort of hangout vibe you have on the podcast is great. Blah, blah, blah. There's a nice one.
Why did you read that for? That person's boring. Stop this.
Oh, here's one you like. Is it just me or does Forrest sound exactly like Lieutenant Dan on Forrest Gump?
Yeah. Every time, let's try this.
Every
let's
time
try
I
this.
Listen to the podcast, I just picture Jim sitting talking to a guy with no legs. So
Lieutenant Dan, I got you a new thing. What do you say, Lieutenant Dan?
I'm supposed to be Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, he's doing a Forrest Gump.
I'm Forrest Gump.
Oh, you were Forrest. That was your Forrest Gump?
The irony is that your name is Forrest, and I'm playing Forrest to your Lieutenant Dan. Hey, this is a
my name's Dan.
Okay, so try it
and
again.
His name's Dan. Holy fuck! We're Russian dolling this shit. The levels of fucking Forrest Gump is going on right now. And Scott in this story is fucking useless.
That's par for the course.
So anyway, Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Dan.
I guess I don't have to do anything except talk in my normal voice.
Say something, Lieutenant Dan.
Hey, Forrest.
Danny. Hey, Lieutenant Dan.
I married an Asian woman.
Oh, you know, Asian women are the best. Asian women are the best.
I heard Jenny died of AIDS.
Oh, did Jenny die of AIDS? I just got Haley Joel Osment to be my child. Lieutenant Dan.
Oh, okay. Shrimp.
Hey, Lieutenant Dan, I just closed out John Oliver's last episode. Who have you got to close out last episode of Jim Jeffrey Show?
Did he? Forrest Gump closed out his last episode?
No, Tom Hanks.
No, I know.
You're fucking hurtful.
All right. Here's one you'll like. Somebody called me a bitch boy the whole email, so I don't know what that's about.
You're
so.
A bitch boy.
You said at the very beginning you called me a bitch boy. So
no,
it was really
very
weird
complimentary. Very complimentary of me that I actually fucking reference that you're a boy, and I feel like you should take some type of... Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, that's the podcast. How long do we do today?
10 minutes.
No, fuck you.
Yeah, it's pretty short. I think we're good, Kelly. Yeah, Kelly says we're good.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank my guests on this evening's show. I'm sure Forrest is going to do some roundup thing. But Dan Bacadol, I love you to the moon and back.
I love you too, brother.
You. Scott Zabinski, fuck, I guess we're going to be fucking paired up together until you fucking die, so that's another year. And Forrest Shaw, thanks for having me. I'm going to have a piss. Good night.
Thanks for having you. I didn't have you. All right, please subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And now Jim usually says something in the background as he's walking away.
Oh, shut up, Forrest.
There you go. Okay, thank you, guys.